Hello, everybody. Welcome to HSN Hanshin Tigers English News. Today is Sunday, April the 10th, 2016, and this is episode 24. My name is T-Ray, if I didn't say that already in the first 10 seconds, and with me today as co-host, I've got
Joe here, coming in again from Pennsylvania.
All right, Joe, welcome back to the show. You were on just a couple weeks ago, I think it was, and we had a great time talking with you, so I'm glad to have you back.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah. So, Joe, let's talk a little bit about something outside of baseball, just to kind of kick things off. What is the best movie that you've seen recently? Or is there any movie you've seen recently that kind of tugged at your heartstrings or that really entertained you?
Yeah, I went and I just got the Big Short. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a movie about the financial crisis back in 2008. So it was kind of a difficult topic for a movie. And since I'm an accountant, you know, for my job, the whole financial crisis was quite the interesting scenario. And so trying to see how they explained that during the movie was really interesting. They used like Jenga blocks and, you know, started pulling them out. And they said eventually the whole tower is going to come down. And that's kind of, you know, one of the things that they gave as an explanation. So it had, you know, quite a bit of big name actors in it. Christian Bale, Steve Carell, Brad Pitt, and Ryan Gosling. So, you know, overall a good movie for...
Yes. It's a pretty star-studded lineup. So was it actually pretty accurate, or did you feel like, I mean, they got things together the way that they should have, or from your point of view, did you feel like they missed the mark on a few parts of it as far as the reality of it went?
I think the reality was pretty much there. I read the book before I watched the movie. I had read the book a couple years ago, and then I picked it up again because I knew the movie was coming out. So, you know, the book was kind of the realistic and, you know, it's kind of crazy that how close it was, the movie, to the actual book on the real things. But, you know, sometimes you're just sitting there shaking your head going, I can't believe this actually happened. So, you know, they were like, during the movie, they're betting on that the whole world's going to collapse. And then they're, you know, they kind of sit back and realize that, you know, what they're thinking or what they're find out is actually going to happen. And it's, you know, quite an interesting movie. So.
That is interesting and just scary that people can sit back and gamble or bet on stuff like that. But yeah, thanks for sharing that. And actually, I'll share about my favorite movie after the break. But just so you folks know, we're going to be recapping the week that was. We'll choose our player of the week. And we're going to talk a little bit about how the start of the season is gone. So stick around. We will be back in a sec. All right, Joe, we didn't quite get time in the intro to talk about my movie, and it's maybe not such a big deal, but you know what? I hope I'll get the name of it right. It was called The 100-Foot Journey, I think it was. I think it came out I think it was 2014. I could be wrong, and I don't watch movies that often, and so, you know, for me it was a treat to be able to catch that. But basically it's a story of an Indian family that sets up shop in kind of countryside France. They set up an Indian restaurant, and right across the road from them is a very well-known French restaurant. And so they kind of have struggles surviving and making way with, you know, fitting in with French culture and all that kind of stuff. And it was just a real charmer of a movie. You know, it kind of had a little bit of its cheesiness to it, but, certainly it was a cool movie.
Interesting. Ever heard of it? No, I have not.
Okay, I think it was produced by like Oprah Winfrey or something like that, which, you know, I'm not an Oprah booster by any means, but it was just interesting to find that out as I watched the credits at the end of the movie. But one more side note on that, I watched it on the airplane flying across the sea from Canada back to Japan. And let me just give you guys a bit of advice. Don't watch any movies about food while you're on an airplane, because you'll be greatly disappointed when the cart comes down the aisle. Terrible timing on that.
Yeah, I've taken some business trips and had business class, so that you don't have to worry about the food in business class, let me tell you.
There you go. Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to find someone to pony up for my business class tickets next time then. All right, let's jump into the week that was, Joe. And as you know, we played 3 at Tokyo Dome, and then we came home and made our big return to Koshien Stadium for 3 against the Carp. What was your viewing schedule, or how did you do with watching games this week, Joe?
The thing when I, during the week, it's tough for me because the game started, I think it's like 5 a.m. So it's hard for me to get up that early, but mm-hmm. I get up, maybe 6:30, turn the game on. So I usually get it halfway through the game. And then, watch it as I get ready through the morning, and as I go into work, I listen to it while I'm driving into work. So I caught the first half of it, or the second half of every game this week, and then I caught all of yesterday's game, and then today's game. I just caught the highlights this morning when I woke up.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess the weekend afternoon games are even harder for you to catch than the weekday games.
But with the Tigers tete-a-tete, I can catch the full game after the fact and in replay. So yesterday I was working on bottling some beer. That's another hobby of mine. But I just had the game on going while I was doing that. So,
gotcha. Okay. Very cool. Very cool. It's really great to hear that there's people overseas that are that avid followers of the team. And so, awesome. All right, well, let's take everybody through the action. And I recognize that last week, that part of the show was really long, and I apologize for that. Just as a side note, for those of you that listen to podcasts on your iPhones or on your smartphones or whatever, I'm sure there's a feature on there so you can speed up my voice. You can play it in 1.5 time or double time if you want. I'll start to sound really fast like this, and I'll start to the replays. But if you really want to hear it, carefully, then by all means, stick with us. I'm going to try and make this one a little bit shorter than the last time, but warning to all of you out there, there was quite a bit of scoring this week. And so if I go through all the scoring, it may take a while. So I'll try and do this real quick. We went with Fujinami on the mound against their Aaron Pareda. And last year we had problems with Aaron Pareda, but we got to him right from the start. In fact, Takayama led off the game with a single, and eventually scored on a Fukudome single of his own. So we took a 1-0 lead heading into the bottom of the inning. Unfortunately, Fujinami coughed up the lead right away. It was 1-1 after one inning because the Giants tied it up. So that was kind of a bummer. However, the good news is that the Tigers ended up taking the lead back. And they ended up doing that really nicely in the top of the sixth inning, I believe it was. Top of the third. It was even earlier than I thought. Let me kind of refresh my memory here. Fujinami started with a hit. Takayama got another hit, and Fujinami ran all the way to third base on that single. And then Yokota hit, and he had an infield hit, and I don't remember the exact nature of it, but I do remember Fujinami scored on it, and I remember people thinking, like, why did he take off on that one, and it was, he's kind of lucky to be able to make it, but he did. He scored on that one. Haig walked Fukudome, hit a sac fly, and then Gomez struck out, but Haig stole second, and the catcher threw it past second base, and so Yokota, who was on third base at the time, scored, and so it was 4-1 Tigers after three innings. And then, let's fast forward to the sixth, that's where the next scoring happened for the Tigers, where it was... I'll just go through the scoring plays for you. Nishioka ended up getting an infield hit, really hustled it out with runners on first and third, so he scored a run there. And then with the bases loaded, Pareda actually got called for a balk, so we got another run on that, 6-1. And then during that at-bat, which was Takayama's at-bat, he ended up hitting a line drive, get two more runs in, so it was 8-1. After the top of the sixth. So Fujinami had a massive lead, and he did a good job holding it. He actually only gave up one more run, and that was in the bottom of the seventh. It was a screamer to the right field stands, I believe, for Donoue of the Giants. So it was a solo shot, and so 8-2, and that was the final damage to Fujinami and to the Tigers. That was it. So we won our opener at Tokyo Dome. What were your thoughts on that game or the parts that you saw, Joe?
Fujinami had it going on. 12 strikeouts, one walk. I think we'll take that any day of the week, especially against the Giants. So I'm glad that they gave him through the eighth and then said, okay, that's enough, and kind of brought him in, even though the lead was kind of high. But, I think I heard somewhere that they said, or I think it was in Messenger's Hero interview we'll get to later, but he said, if they're not going for the shutout, it's, easy to pull them, I think. So glad that happened. Right. But Takayama went 4-for-5 in the game. I mean, come on, this kid is amazing. So quite a pickup. RBIs all over the place. I think just a great, great offensive effort by the team, and followed up with great pitching. So all in all, a great game.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you on all that. And, it was nice to see Fujinami end the game. I think it was with just one or two walks, I think.
One walk,
Which, for him, is quite an accomplishment, because he's he's been getting up there with between 4 and 6 a game quite regularly. So 12 strikeouts to 1 walk shows a lot more, I don't know, maybe accuracy, maybe maturity. I'm not really sure exactly what you would call it, but it was certainly nice to see him get some nice numbers up there and just pitch really well. And, you know, he hit the ball, he ran well, all that kind of stuff. So great game. So we take the opener and then we go into game two. And now, you know, if Pareto was tough on us last year, how about Sugano, who we got in game two? He was even harder on us last season. And we faced him on the mound and we brought Iwata, who really struggled in his first game against the Swallows. Fared a little bit better in this one, but spoiler alert, the Tigers lost this one 3-0. And Sugano was just on top of his game in this one. We ended up having a hit in the first and a hit in the second. Two hits in the second. Two hits in the third. But then that was pretty much it for us after that. I mean, Sugano really calmed down. We put some pressure on early, but nothing became of it. And as for the Giants, they got their runs in the fourth and fifth innings. It was Murata who got, I think it was a double or maybe a single. Anyways, to score a run in the bottom of the fourth. And then in the fifth, it all kind of came crumbling for Iwata again. He allowed 3 straight hits to start the inning. And then after an out, he walked another guy, load the bases, and then Cruz hit an infield grounder, which was an out, but it ended up scoring the third run. And so 3-0 for the Giants. And the Tigers, from that point on, I think ended up getting... they got an infield hit from Toritani in the seventh, and that's it the rest of the way. So no threats, and Sugano pitched his first career complete game shutout at Tokyo Dome, which I find hard to believe. But you know what, Joe? Sometimes you just face a really good pitcher, and that's all you can say about it. But I don't know. You might have some other comments.
No, I mean, it just, you know, just kind of looked ugly. You know, Sugano had it going on, and, you know, we have those games on our side too, so I'm not going to worry about it. I mean, Haig went 2-for-4, which is good to see him. He's kind of been maybe struggling a little bit, but not performing at maybe his level in his first week that he did. But you know, we only had one runner on third in that second inning and never got past second after that. So just chalk it up to a loss and move on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think the Tigers could do much more than that. I mean, again, we're talking about a guy that honestly, I mean, he is one of the best pitchers in Japanese baseball. So for him to have a great game against the Tigers at home shouldn't come as a surprise, and it shouldn't be a huge disappointment. That was the first shutout against for the Tigers this season. So kind of unfortunate. But the great thing is that we were able to move past that. And game three was a pretty exciting one, or at least for Tigers fans it was. For Giants fans, I'm sure it wasn't. We put Messenger on the mound, and they brought rookie Kentaro Taira, who was making his first start, and he looked really good early, in fact. He struck out Haig, Fukudome, Gomez, and Toritani in succession over the course of 2 innings, of course, but four of our best hitters in a row. Struck them all out. And then in the bottom of the third, he came up to the plate against Messenger. And he hit one to right field. It was a sharply hit line drive. Fukudome had no chance at it. But Fukudome was very alert. Picked it up, threw it to first. And it was the one of my favorite, what do you call it? I guess one of my favorite plays in baseball, the ground out to right. So good one by Fukudome. The very next inning, he came up in the top of the fourth and absolutely crushed one. Two-run home run. 2-0 Tigers. And then the inning continued. I'm going to leave out a lot of the details so we can talk about it after I finish the wrap-up here, Joe. But with the bases loaded and Messenger up at the plate with 2 outs, he ended up hitting one that just got past Luis Cruz at second and scored 2 more runs. So it was 4-0. And I think that's when they pulled Taira real early. That's right. They pulled him. And then the very next inning, the onslaught continued. Gomez hit one into left for a single RBI. Toritani hit a sacrifice fly for another RBI, so 6-0. And then Okazaki hit his first career extra base hit, which was a kind of a line drive down the left field line, scored 2 more runs, so it's 8-0. And then on a wild pitch by Tsuchida, who's the first relief pitcher for the Giants, we scored another. So it was 9-0 before the Giants could get on the board, which happened in the bottom of the sixth when Luis Cruz actually came up and he ended up hitting one into, I think, to center field to score one run. So 9-1. But just to kind of, kick him in the nads before we left Tokyo, in the top of the ninth, Egoshi, who was pinch hitting, came up and hit a huge home run to left center. So we reached double digits in score. Final score, 10-1. Randy Messenger got his first win of the season. And that's all she wrote for the Giants series. But as I mentioned on the website, the Tigers only won 2 games at Tokyo Dome all year last year in the regular season out of 13 tries. They've already got 2 out of 3. This year. So something's changed and they looked really good in their wins. They looked like they were, confident and they were very convincing wins. So it was just great to see that because we didn't have a lot of convincing wins anywhere last year, I felt. Anyways, Joe, any comments on this game 3?
Yeah, I just thought it was another one of those games where, the bats came alive. We did what we had to do. Our defense was stellar. We gave up 8 hits and only gave up 1 run. So yeah. Any day you can do that, that's a heck of a day. So scoring 10 on 12 hits for us, that's what you want to see. Messenger went through 8 complete innings and gave up one run, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk, not a lot of Ks, but hey, a lot of consistent, good pitching. So it was glad to see him finally get his, run support that everybody never sees, and just blow it open like that. So, well, hopefully he, got more than enough runs for the next couple of games because, good old Randy doesn't get a whole lot of support. So, but again, a great series. I'll take it any day of the week.
For sure.
Good team effort, not any single person, offensively, destroying the game, but just hit in those innings and just brings in the runs.
Yeah, for sure. It just seems like, I don't know if it's the batting order or what it is, but it seems like this year's Tigers team is just really, they're kind of feeding off of each other, and it just seems like, they're very good at getting hits in succession. And, dare I go back to last season and say that last year we couldn't get hits in succession because it was always hit, bunt, hope for a hit.
I agree.
Which kind of ruined things. And this year, Kanemoto's just letting them go and saying, if you can get a hit after hit after hit, let's get this guy. And I mentioned it last year as my what a disaster once. I can remember this. We hit 2 home runs in a row and then, the next guy got plunked. So we had a runner on first and no outs, I think it was, but we're talking about a pitcher that has just been destroyed on his, for 2 at-bats and then he hits a guy. So he's clearly rattled and Wada goes and bunts him. Right. So, what are you doing? Giving the pitcher some confidence or giving him a bit of a break? Like you gotta kick him while he's down, honestly. and that's what Kanemoto's ready to do. He's going for the jugular, which is great. One more comment I wanted to make, or two more comments, but one is that I was completely ticked at the Giants pitcher and even the whole Giants team. He had just struck out our 4 best guys, and then he went up to the plate, and he hit one to right field, and like I said, he grounded out to right. But as that happened, he was snickering and laughing about it. Takahashi, their manager, was kind of giggling about it. And even the bench was kind of like, oh, ha, 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 you got yours. But don't worry, buddy, because you're doing fine up on the mound. But, Fukudome gunned him down at first. And obviously that wasn't enough to straighten the kid out. So Fukudome said, okay, if you didn't like what I did in the field, I'm going to do it at the plate too. And, he took him to right field on that very next one. And I think that wiped the smile off his face as well as the face of all the Giants at last. And it was just great to see that because I just don't like the arrogance that the Giants have. And that just really showed it on that play.
Yeah, I agree. Just the Giants, they think they deserve the wins every time. So going in there to their place and showing them up was just great.
Yeah. And the other one I just wanted to mention quick was the Messenger at bat where he got the 2 RBIs. And I don't know if you caught that part of the game because you might have still been asleep or whatever, or just shaking off the cobwebs. But did you catch that?
I don't remember if I saw it or not.
Okay. Well, what happened was Messenger was down. I think it was maybe 1-2 in the count. Or maybe 0-2 or something like that. But anyways, he kept fouling off pitches and taking the really bad ones and building up the count. And it was 2-2. And I think he fouled off like 2 or 3 in a row.
Oh,
and then a pitch came in. It was a ball. He thought it was 4. he thought it was ball four, yeah. Bases loaded walk. So he trotted to first. And Okazaki, who was on first, already had to kind of stop him and go, no, 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 get back to the batter's box. It's only a full count. And, you know, at that point, you'd almost think his concentration would be broken, but he came right back up and you know, and drove one quite nicely to get two runs in instead of one. So that was pretty fun to watch as well.
Yeah.
So that's about it. I mean, okay, so I think we've kind of done a decent job of wrapping up the Giants series there with the two wins and one loss and convincing wins. I mean, 8-2 and then 10-1, and we lost 3-0 in the middle. But a great series. Proud of the work that the Tigers did in that one. It was just amazing. All right, let's move on then to our big triumphant return to Koshien Stadium to face the Hiroshima Carp. Friday night, we brought Atsushinomi to the mound, and they had, who was it? They had Yokoyama, their rookie. And Nomi, unfortunately, gave up two runs right at the very start of the game, top of the first inning. It was an RBI double by Maru, and then an RBI single by Luna. So 2-0 before we even get our bats warmed up. But in the bottom of the first, who else but Taiga Egoshi comes through with a home run. This would be his third home run in 3 days, including... this was his first one being in the starting lineup. He took Yokota's place in the starting lineup for this one. So his previous two home runs came on Tuesday and... Or no, it would have been the week before and then Thursday in the pinch hitting role. But this one as a starter. So it's 2-1 after one inning. And that's the way it stayed almost entirely through the rest of the game. Nomi pitched really well after that, settled in nicely. Yokoyama had a stymied because we only got one more hit all the way through Yokoyama's time on the mound, which is right through the seventh inning. Then the eighth inning played blank as well. Top of the ninth, the Tigers ended up keeping that one as holding fort there as well. So we go into the bottom of the ninth. We've got two hits all game, and they're bringing their closer in. But the good thing is, with runners on first and second and one out, Toritani, he just kind of like hit a little... like just a cheesy grounder. But anyways, it ended up being an infield single because it was kind of misplayed or maybe it was just like it just found the right place. I don't remember exactly. Anyways, yeah, the throw by the pitcher also, sorry, did you?
Yeah, I was going to say that the pitcher's throw was just, he just like held it up for just like half a second and it was just enough to get him on base. So it was, you know, I think misplayed by the pitcher.
Yeah, like you'd almost think that it was an error as opposed to a hit. But anyways, the throw also was slightly errant, and Arai at first base, our former Takahiro Arai, could not catch it. And during that time, the pinch runner that we had in ended up coming in to score. So it's a tie game 2-2. It's still one out, and we've got runners on first and third now for Nishioka, who, you know, let's face it, I mean, let's be honest, his season up to this point has not been outstanding. And he did a little bit more... hitting in Tokyo at the Dome. But this was really one that I think, I hope is going to turn his season around. Granted, the outfield was kind of drawn in, but I mean, he hit the ball nicely. He connected really well on a 1-2 pitch. He ended up, you know, it might've even found the gap for a double if it had been played normally, but it was the walk-off hit. So 3-2, dramatic bottom of the ninth win for the Tigers. The winning pitcher in this game then ends up being Takahashi, and the loser is their closer, Nakazaki. Thoughts on this game, Joe?
Yeah, it was kind of a snoozer there for quite a while, I guess, during the game. But I caught this one, the last of this one in the ninth while I was at work. And I was watching the game, but don't tell my boss. But anyways, that ninth inning was kind of interesting. There was just a lot of stuff going on. That started out with Hegg's grounder. It was an out, but then Fukudome's hit kind of like blooped just over the shortstop and between the outfield, and they called it a hit, but I really thought it should have been an error because both of them kind of held up and it fell between them. So
right.
I think that was, you know, the Japanese way of leaning towards the hit if there's any chance to give him a hit. But, you know, so again, Gomez coming through, and then Toritani, you know, he's really kind of struggled at the plate. So to see him, you know, get that, you know, it was kind of a cheesy hit, like you said, but it's still a hit. And yep. Nishioka coming through is just amazing to see that actually happen for once. The hero interview had Nishioka up there, and he was kind of emotional about how, you know, he's been through quite a bit of injury and struggled a lot, and he appreciates the Tigers fans still cheering for him. So that was really good to see. So hopefully this is that turning point and he can, you know, be who he was before. I think he really did get hurt pretty bad from that injury, you know, that collision that he had, I think, 2 years ago. So,
right.
But it's definitely, you know, a good to see the Tigers have the comeback capabilities in the end there.
Yeah,
something we really haven't definitely seen a lot of this year.
Yeah, true. You know, I guess they're just really gutting it out. And like you said, it's great to see. It's really great to see that. So, yeah, I was watching the hero interview on TV as well. And, you know, I didn't fully tear up, but I certainly was getting to that point. Because I'm a Nishioka fan. And just to be able to see kind of the sincerity in his heart of saying, like, you know what, I really want to contribute to the team, and I really feel bad for the 2 years that I wasn't able to do so. And, you know, finally, you know, despite Kanemoto saying stuff like, you know, I'm the king of slackers, or of, you know, I was ducking out at camp and all that stuff. Or I think Kanemoto had even said, during camp, during, interviews or whatever, like, oh yeah, Nishioka's not here today 'cause he's got diarrhea, or, you know, stuff like that, you know, just joking around, but at the same time, it's like half joking and it's half saying like, you know, what's wrong with this guy? So he said, yeah, finally, I did something worthy of Kanemoto being able to say, yeah, Nishioka came through. So great to see. And yeah, I do hope that he becomes an integral part of the team's success this season. So that's that for game number one of the series. What a great way to come back to Koshien Stadium. At least, you know, the ending was outstanding. So moving on to game two, I actually was able to be in attendance at that one. And I was with our good buddy on H10, Fernando. He's appeared on the podcast before. He designed the logo for the website, for the Facebook page, etc. And he's the one that's doing the infographics that we've been putting up on recent recaps and stuff. So it was great to meet him. It was great to take in a game with him. He's here in Japan with his wife, just on vacation. So they're going to be leaving in a couple days. But anyways, it was fun. It was fun to be at the stadium, of course, as always. And the Carp brought Hiroki Kuroda to the mound, and we brought young Yuta Iwasada to the mound. And as you all know from last week's show, Iwasada was excellent last Saturday, and I was not sure if he'd be able to repeat it, because he hasn't typically repeated his performances from week to week or start to start, but he did it. Unfortunately, Kuroda matched him pitch for pitch, and not quite strikeout for strikeout, but certainly out for out. We went hitless through three innings. And the Carp got a few hits here and there. But in the bottom of the fourth, Takayama led off with a hit. And then who else but Egoshi coming through again. A huge blast. Barely cleared the center field wall. But I mean, when you're clearing the center field wall, it's a huge blast. So excellent. 2-0 lead. It's looking great. Actually, the very next inning. Or was it that inning? It was that inning. Kuroda actually ended up getting hurt on the third out of the inning. Gomez hit a very sharp, I forget if it was a grounder or a line drive, but it hit him in the ankle, and that took Kuroda out of the game. So it was almost like, lucky us, we only got two hits through four innings. Now we get to face their not-so-strong relief for the final five innings of the game. Unfortunately, we managed no hits the rest of the game, despite the fact that their relievers are not known to be the strongest. Iwasada continued to pitch very well through seven innings. He had 12 strikeouts after seven innings, but he ran into trouble in the eighth, and partway through the eighth, he got pulled, I think with two outs and runners on first and third or something like that. And Fukuhara came in and, Iwasada had allowed one run before that. Fukuhara allowed a second run, so Iwasada lost any chance of becoming the winning pitcher on this one, but it's tied at two after eight. Like I said, though, sorry, I kind of blew the ending, but the Tigers got no more hits the rest of the game, and it went ninth inning. Mateo pitched cleanly for us. We got no hits in the bottom, and then in the 10th, we had Mateo was already spent, Fukuhara was already spent, and so we brought in Enokida, and he allowed three straight hits. I think one or two of them scored. He left the game, having recorded just one out, and we brought in Kaneda. And he proceeded to walk the first three guys that he faced. And so they ended up getting another couple of runs that way. And then we brought in Sayuchi, and I think he got an out, but they scored on that out or something like that. Anyways, the tale of the tape is the Carp scored four in the top of the 10th, and we had nothing to respond in the bottom of the 10th, and we lost 6-2. It was a close game until extra innings. Even the total hits was 10-2 for them. So a real bummer of a game. It was kind of a letdown after the dramatics on Friday. But how much of this one did you catch, or what did you think of this game, Joe?
Yeah, I caught the whole game. So, you know, it was kind of a snoozer for having, you know, all these hits all week to come and see two hits in one inning, and that was it. The offense kind of just took a nap for some reason. We've had a number of hits every game, at least six hits every game, and then we come in this one, we get two. So I really think they had it going on. But, you know, again, Iwaseda, I mean, what are you going to say about this guy coming in and throwing, again, a Nomi count of 12 strikeouts and one walk in 7 2/3? I mean, he put two guys on in the end, but, you know, any kind of run support should have helped there. But, it's tough to see the relief kind of collapse in the 10th there. You know, Enokida, you know, he's been doing really well, you know, but coming in and dropping that, you know, three people, it's just not good. So, again, another one that you could say, okay, well, we didn't have it today and move on, but, you know, there's not really a good game there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting. The Tigers have actually won and lost, or lost and won in every series so far. They haven't lost the first two games of a series or won the first two games of a series.
Wow.
So, again, in this one then, we're going into the third game. Just before that, though, just for the record, Gomez actually got hurt in this game. I think it was actually on the same hit or the same ball that he hit that ended up injuring Kuroda. I think he injured his back. He came in to play the top of the fifth, but then he didn't hit in the bottom of the fifth, and then he didn't come out for the sixth. So I was wondering what was going on. I didn't know until I got home and read the papers, but apparently he injured his back. I think it's just, you know, some sort of back pain, but if he did it on a swing, hopefully it's not too serious. But he didn't play today on Sunday, and they've got tomorrow, Monday, off. So hopefully that's enough to get him back in the lineup. But also on Sunday, we didn't have Matt Haig in the lineup either. And actually, I was able to talk to him a little bit, and he said he had a really bad fever Saturday night, and it still wasn't gone Sunday. He still didn't feel up for playing. And so he was not, I don't think he was even at the stadium. I think he went to the hospital just to get checked on and stuff. And he said he's feeling a little bit better. But he was not in the lineup, so it was an all-Japanese lineup from top to bottom in this one. And we brought Kyuji Fujikawa to the mound, and they brought Yuya. Is it Yuya Fukui? I don't remember his first name. I'm really bad at first names on other teams. The first inning has not been a good one in this series for the Tigers. Kyuji gave up two runs right off the top, literally. I mean, he walked the first guy, and then he gave up a two-run home run to the second guy. So that really wasn't good. And then he kept struggling. He walked another guy in the first inning. It was Eldred, and Eldred stole a base on top of that. That was in the inning. They ended up only getting two runs, but the Tigers responded with a 1-2-3 bottom of the first, and we're off to the races. Kyuji's kind of struggling all the way through, even though he went 1-2-3 in the second inning, and he only allowed one walk in the third inning. His pitch count was just really high. His control wasn't there, and his fastball was not popping at all. So that was all just real bummer. However, the Tigers kind of bailed him out in the bottom of the third. We rattled off like just a whack load of hits. I think they were all singles, but Fujikawa led off the inning with a strikeout, and then Takayama, Toritani, Egoshi got hits. Then Fukudome came about 10 feet from hitting a three-run home run, but it was a flyout. And then Imanari, Nishioka, Hojo all got hits as well. So just an incredible display of hitting. Not a lot of power, but a lot of hitting. And so we went from a 2-0 deficit to a 4-2 lead, which is really great to see. However, in the fifth inning, they did the reverse on us and then some. And they ended up getting hit wild pitch, hit, and then Fujikawa was out of the game. And Takahashi came in and mopped up and only allowed one more run, but of course it was attributed to Fujikawa. So Fujikawa left with the score 7-4, and he was charged for all seven runs. So a really rough outing, 4 1/3 innings, and he was gone. So that's 7-4, and then in the sixth inning they ended up scoring another run, so it's 8-4. It's looking like this one is out of reach, and the Tigers are putting up runners almost every inning. As I was noting as I was watching the game, they had a batter strike out to end the inning in the bottom of the eighth as well. All of those coming with, all those except the eighth coming with a runner on base, at least one runner on base. So, and some of those were strikeouts. Two of them were, I think, they watched strike three. So just terribly frustrating, certainly as fans, probably just as frustrating for the players and as well for Kanemoto. But it's looking really grim. We go into the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth, and here we go. We're down four runs. But, and actually, I was not even watching this. I left because I had to go buy some groceries and stuff, and I figured the game was done. But Egoshi with a hit and a beautiful slide into first base head first to make a hit. Fukudome with a hit. Imanari gets plunked. Bases are loaded now, and they bring in their closer.
No understandably. Outs.
Yeah, no outs. So, I mean, it is a save situation, and it is kind of a dangerous situation because the tying run's already at the plate. Nishioka, anyways, gets a base hit, so we get one run on that. It's still bases loaded. Hojo grounds out, but a run scores, so it's one out, runners on second and third. We're down two now. Umino strikes out, two outs now. Kano comes up with two outs and runners on second and third. He hits one. It's an infield hit that it kind of glanced off the third baseman, and the shortstop had no play on it, but one run scores. It's 8-7 now. Runners on first and third, and Takayama is up at the plate.
Who else?
Man, this is exciting. Yeah, who would you want up? And I was saying to my wife as I'm watching, like, if he gets a hit here, especially a home run, but if he gets any hit here to tie or, you know, give the Tigers a lead, this kid is not going to be able to go anywhere without being mobbed by fans. Unfortunately, on a 2-2 count, and Takayama was battling, man, a real questionable call on another strike three. So that's like, what, five straight innings where we end on a strikeout for our guys. And this one, again, he watched strike three. But if you check my website and if you check the most recent series recap, you'll see a still shot of that final pitch. Oh man, how could you call that a third strike except for just really wanting to get home? Because it was a long game. I mean, we're talking a 9-inning game, and I think it was 4.5 hours by the time it was over. But real bummer of a way to end the game and the series. Tigers lose 8-7. Joe, any comments or thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, it was a slugfest. 28 combined hits, I think I have here. So yes. 13-15, that's unreal. So... you know, everybody was getting on base. You know, I don't know. I think the jury's still out on this one. Can mm-hmm. he do it? Can he be in the rotation? You know, his fastball, I was looking at some of them, they were in the 130s, you know, and it's like, yikes. He didn't look like he had a lot of everything. And so 4 1/3, 6 strikeouts, you know, it seems like that's a lot of strikes for 4 1/3. So maybe mm-hmm. he's trying too much, you know, to get the strikeouts. Three maybe. Walks and 7 runs. So, you know, I don't know if I'm on board with Fujikawa being a starter, but you know, I guess with his age, maybe he's, I don't know where he's going to fit in, but, it's tough.
That's the tricky part too, because, he himself has kind of admitted that he doesn't want to be a reliever and he's not confident having to be called in to pitch, in like 2 days in succession. But you know, given that 2 of his 3 starts so far have been pretty shaky, and the fact that really his pitch limit is like 100 max, yeah. Which is okay. I think that would be okay in the majors, but I think in Japan they kind of expect 120 or higher. It kind of leaves the bullpen a little bit, that kind of leaves them in the lurch or puts a little bit more pressure on them. Certainly when he has a rough outing like he did today where they had to go 5 innings I'll be interested to read articles tomorrow and see what Kanemoto has to say or what the team plans to do with Fujikawa moving forward, because he signed him for 2 years. I mean, we can't say that time is up and you've had your shot. I mean, it's only three starts, but they certainly haven't looked too promising, eh?
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the first inning there, 9-pitch walk for the first batter, and then the next guy comes up and cranks it out of the park. You know, it's not going to be a good day.
No, certainly not. Certainly not.
Yeah. So, tough loss there, missing it at the end.
Yeah. I think, though, even he even walked a few guys in his in the one outing that he actually did quite well, in the one that he got a win last week. So, really some concerns there. Maybe it's just a matter of switching catchers. You know, maybe they got to stop with this Umeno experiment. And we might get to that a little bit later in the show, talking about catchers, Joe. But all right. So that's that. Just to recap, the Tigers went 2-1 in Tokyo Dome and 1-2 at home. So their record was 3-3 on the week. I predicted last week that they go 3-3. So I guess who was on the money? Yep. And Wizzo, unfortunately, was not on the money. He picked a 4-2 week, but pretty close. So as Wizzo and I play this game through the year, we'll see who ends up on top. But right now, I've got a one-game lead on him. And we'll talk about predictions for next week towards the end of this show. Right now, I want to move on and talk about Player of the Week. So in a week where we scored 8 runs, 10 runs, 7 runs today, and then we had the dramatic finish on Friday, but then also we had some pretty good pitching outings. Who have you got for your Player of the Week this week, Joe?
I'm going to be a little off base here, but I'm going with Egoshi. He had 3 home runs for the week, 6 of 13, 5 RBIs, so he's batting .461 for the week. So I thought that was, even though he didn't play in the Giants game, he just was a pinch hitter, but I really think that that offense is something we need in the lineup, and I think Kanemoto has recognized that, putting him in at the end there. So that's my Player of the Week. I think it was quite the offensive week for the whole team, but Egoshi kind of stands out there.
Well, we're going to match here. I'm also going Egoshi because, even though, like you said, he didn't play in the Giants series completely, and I think he pinch hit in just the one game, I think.
Yeah, that's all I have done, but
But still, I mean, he hit home run on Friday and a home run on Saturday at home. So he went he had a 4-game home run hitting streak, but he hit 3 home runs. Actually, 3 home runs in 3 straight at bats. If you go back to last week, it was pinch hit home run, and then the first home run or the first at bat of his first start, he hit a home run. So pretty impressive stuff, and he just brought a lot of energy to the team. Even today, I mean, he got 3 hits today, and that ninth inning rally, he started off with a key infield single. So just showing hustle there. On Saturday at the game, was it the eighth inning or ninth? It must have been the ninth inning. Fukudome made an outstanding catch in right field that the umps actually originally called a hit, and then it was reversed. Clearly a catch, actually, if you look at the replays. But then I think it was 1 out later or 2 outs later, Egoshi made an equally impressive catch where maybe he was drawn in. Maybe they were doing a drawn-in outfield. But he backtracked like crazy, and he caught it at the wall. It was a nice jumping catch. So even in the field, he has been playing really well. So props to Egoshi. You get Player of the Week from both of us. And I got a suggestion on the Facebook page. Why don't you guys keep track of the Players of the Week through the year, and then you can kind of have the H10 Player of the Year at the end of the season? I thought, yeah, that's a great idea. So the T-Ray vote counts as 3 points. The co-host vote counts as 3 points. So Egoshi gets 6. So he's got the lead right now for Player of the Year on the H10 Awards. But season's still young. Anyways, good stuff. Let us move now a little bit forward. And I want to talk a little bit about just the season and how it's gone so far. We have now played 3 games against each of the other Central League teams. And just looking overall, not just at the Tigers play, but I want to look even more just at other teams. Like, who's surprised you so far in the Central and why? And, have they surprised for the better or for worst? Have you looked into that at all, Joe?
Yeah, a little bit. The Giants, we were tied there yesterday before when I was making all my notes, getting ready for this, and so, you know, I thought, you know, we were doing good, but then after today we're one game behind, but you know, I can't complain as to where we are against the other teams. Your Colt really struggled. DNA, I don't know how you pronounce that per se.
DNA, yeah.
DNA, yeah. It really wasn't, they're struggling too. So I think maybe the surprise so far is Hiroshima, you know, coming up and being, tied with us, you know. So I think that's kind of as far as the league goes, that's what I've got, but.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, I originally, I know it's still young, early in the season, so who knows what's going to happen towards the end. But I figured that the Giants would be strong and the Tigers would be strong. And, I was kind of wavering between either the Bay Stars or the Carp for, also being in the A class. And I ended up going with the Bay Stars, but, the Carp are a little bit surprising. They're hitting really well, extremely well. And they're actually pitching all right, considering they lost Maeda. So I'm kind of impressed with how well they've done in the early going. And their pitching really stymied us in these games. I mean, honestly, if it weren't for Nakazaki, we wouldn't have been in the two games, the one that we won and the one that we almost won today. So it could have been a sweep without their lousy closer, which means that, well, that's obviously something they need to work on. But, you know, their other pitchers have been doing quite well. The Bay Stars have struggled, but, the last couple of games, they've really been tearing it up, on the offensive side of things. And maybe it's just cause they're playing Yakult and Yakult's been really stinky. Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise as well. Yakult being as bad as they are, especially after being the champs last year, you know, we got to remember they were the 2013 and 2014 cellar dwellers. And I expected them to drop. I picked them to finish fourth. And they still might, but, they're 4-9-1 right now. They've only won four games. So looking pretty bad for the defending Central League champs. And so that's probably my biggest surprise there on the negative side is the Yakult Swallows. Didn't think they'd be this bad. Okay, let us press forward here. And I want to talk about the Tigers lineup. Because we've seen a couple of lineups so far. Just to kind of recap for everybody out there, we're not going to include today's game because it was an exception because of the two injuries, but we've had from the start of the season basically until a few days ago, we had Takayama batting first, followed by Yokota. Then in third, we'd had Haig, fourth was Fukudome, fifth Gomez, sixth Toritani, seventh Nishioka, eighth was the catcher, and ninth was the pitcher. And then recently, from Friday until today, we had Egoshi batting second in place of Yokota. And then today they completely shuffled the lineup and we kind of won't touch that one just yet. But Joe, what's your feel as far as, the Yokota experiment, having the Takayama Yokota, 1-2 versus say a Takayama Egoshi or versus something else that you might suggest? Like, what's your feel for the lineup? What do you think has been working well and what do you think needs changing?
I think Kanemoto's on point here. Yokota, I think he needs to brush it up. His batting average so far is .228, and he has a .254 on base percentage, which is the second lowest other than Umeno on the entire team. So that's not what you want in the second spot. I really think, you know, the demotion he got, and bringing Egoshi, he's proved himself on getting his pinch hit home runs, I guess. And then, you know, coming through on Friday. So I really think, you know, Kanemoto's, you know, really following a good lineup here. I think Takayama in leadoff is just a stellar spot and he's done great for us so far. Let me see what I had him batting. I think 321 so far, so not too bad, but great for leadoff. I think the Haig combo coming through, you know, again, he's kind of on a slump maybe this week compared to last week, but all in all, I really like that top three with Egoshi in there instead of Yokota. Mm-hmm. And then the Fukudome has kind of been the surprise of the year to me in that lineup in fourth. It's cleanup. He's hitting .286, so not too bad. You know, he's come through when situations look tough. Gomez leads the lead in RBIs. You know, he's only batting like 180, mm-hmm. I think, but, you know, he's right. slugging them. So I think we'll take that. So I think that, you know, that first, you know, five in the lineup is solid, you know, with Yokota being replaced by Egoshi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, from there on, you know, Toritani, come on, swing your bat, man. You know, he gets on base with some walks, but gosh, he's hitting like 1.150 or so. So it's like, just that's struggling.
Yeah, yeah, you're definitely right on that. I think Joe, maybe some of your numbers that you had there are after the end of Saturday's games.
They're
still pretty close. No, yeah. no worries. So Takayama's batting .296 now. He went 1-for-6 today, and Fukunome's up to .315, leading the team in batting average. The surprise is that Nishioka has brought his batting average all the way up to .302 because he was hitting down, I think, in the low 200s or maybe the upper $1 range there for a while. I like what you had to say. I do think that Takayama is just a dynamic leadoff hitter. And the interesting thing is I don't think that we have seen his best yet. He has not run on the base pass. Like, he hasn't stolen any bases yet. And I think that he's got that capability. I think he's got some pretty good speed. And I think he's got the smarts to be able to read other pitchers and their pickoff moves or their pitching moves and tendencies. So I think there's a good chance that he's going to be able to be an even more dangerous leadoff hitter than he has been so far. But actually, I like what they did today, in all honesty, with Toritani batting second. And despite his struggles at the plate, he's now up to .180, by the way, but that's still obviously quite unacceptable. I'll tell you why I like him in that spot and why I didn't like Yokota in that spot at all. So far, Yokota, I don't have an exact number, but I would guess that his ground ball percentage is somewhere around 80% or so. Like, even most of his hits that he's gotten have either bounced over the infield or gone through the infield, but he hasn't hit a lot of liners or pop flies. I think he has one extra base hit, but I just feel like his swing is just it's not a very good swing to get good contact on the ball. He just hasn't been hitting, you know, he hasn't been hitting the ball with the sweet spot of the bat. And you can't have that in your second spot. I can't count the number of times that Takayama would lead off with a single, and then on the very next grounder, he would be thrown out at second, and Yokota would be on first. You know, thankfully, he's fast enough to break up double plays, but, you know, then what happens is Yokota gets the run scored, and his stats look good at the end of the season, when, in fact, he's kind of stolen a bunch of runs off from Takayama, poor guy. But the reason I like Toritani up there is because I think he's got really good bat control. And if you've got a guy like Takayama in the leadoff spot, and if he's on first base, and if he's a threat to steal, you got your first baseman who's glued to first. You got your second baseman leaning towards second to cover for a stolen base. Well, who else has got the bat control, I think anyways, on the Tigers to be able to find that hole anytime he wants to or needs to, but Toritani. And he's also got a decent amount of speed to be able to break up double plays if he happens to ground out or whatever. So I like him in that two hole, and I really hope they use that more than just today. And then Egoshi, just with a bit more power, I don't mind, you know, him sliding down into third. So if I look at today's lineup, I wouldn't mind a Takayama, Toritani, Egoshi, and then Fukudome, and then Gomez, and then maybe Haig batting sixth.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Haig could go third and Egoshi could go sixth or vice versa. I think, you know, those could be interchangeable parts. Really, I think this lineup is looking good from top to bottom, despite the fact that heading into this game, they were batting, I think, .234 as a team, and now they're .243 as a team, which is pretty low. I really think they're going to pick things up. I really feel good about this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can all agree that Kanemoto's definitely given it, a good shakeup here, you know, last couple days. And, you know, understanding that Yokota's probably not the spot we need, you know, right now. So, you know, all props to him on making a change. And then I guess today he was kind of forced his hand with the injuries. But, you know, definitely moving Toritani up there was something a little different for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm willing to give it a shot, you know, give it a couple more games, see how it plays out.
Sure. You know, Toritani has batted in so many different slots in his career. I don't know if he's ever done the number two slot, but I think that might be just where he needs to be. And the other thing that I like about him too is he's a selective hitter. And so there's a good chance that if Takayama gets on him, we've got another guy that, gets on base at a good clip, watches a lot of balls. That's the other thing too. If you want your leadoff hitter to steal bases, you can't have a guy like Yokota was swinging at first pitch. Like, I think he did it 3 or 4 at bats in a row. And I think in a stretch of 5 at bats, I think he saw a total of 8 pitches. And you can't have that if you want your leadoff hitter to actually be able to try and take off for second base. And I don't know how much of that was Kanemoto's call saying, you know, be aggressive, and how much of it was just Yokota, you know, swinging freely. But just for the record, I'm not anti-Yokota. I don't think he's a terrible player. But I would love to see him on the farm, because I think that a guy like Kakefu, who was, you know, the cleanup hitter for the Tigers for over a decade, I think, would do a really good job with brushing up Yokota's swing, get him to the point where he's swinging the bat well, he's making good connections with the ball, and then bring him back up. And man, that kid is going to be dangerous in the future, because he's got speed, but he's also got power that we just haven't seen yet. All right. We don't really have time to look at catchers. I wanted to talk a little bit about Umeno versus Okazaki, and certainly with Umeno hitting, I think, .300 now on the season, that's definitely a topic worthy of discussion, but we'll save it for next week. Let's look ahead and predict the upcoming week. We are going to be playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at home against the Bay Stars, probably trotting out Fujinami, Iwata, and Messenger. And then we'll be playing on the road against the Dragons in Nagoya. And we'll probably be bringing out Nomi, Iwasada, and Fujikawa, unless injury or something else takes place. Got any predictions for us, Joe, on how you think the Tigers are going to fare record-wise?
I think we can definitely do some damage to the Bay Stars. They're kind of, you know, on a tear here a little bit. So I'm going to go 2-1 against the Bay Stars. And then going at the Dragons in the Nagoya Dome, I'm going to go with our history and say that we struggle a little bit there and maybe go 1-2. You know, and Nagoya Dome was, I guess, until last season, was just a terrible place for us. But I think we broke that a little bit last year. But I think first time back there, might be a little tough for us. So 1-2 for that.
Okay. Interesting picks. I'm actually not even going to disagree with you that much, but, you know, somebody on the Facebook page kind of pressured me a little bit and said, hey, stop calling these 3-3 prediction weeks, because I've called it the last 2 weeks and they went 3-2-1 and then 3-3 when I called them. So I've been pretty accurate. So they're like, oh, beef up your calls and maybe they'll follow suit. I'm going to go with a 4-2. I'm going to say 4-2, and I'm not really sure how it's going to split, but I'm going to say maybe 2-1 in each series. And Wizzo nailed in his call, and he's saying 5-1 on the week. So let it be known, those are our predictions. And at the end of next, or at the start of next week's show, we are going to be kind of looking at how everybody's doing with those. Okay, we are going to call it a wrap for this week. But before we leave, just a couple of announcements. First of all, myself and Fernando and another friend of mine, James, we ended up doing something called Fantasy Tigers League. It's kind of like fantasy baseball, but we just chose Tigers players. And so we each have our 20-man rosters consisting of 8 pitchers at least and the rest hitters, picking farm guys as well as parent club guys. And I've got a set of rules that I'm going to be putting up on the website, so you can check that out if you're interested in following along. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time. We drafted it via the phone last night. And so stay tuned for that on the website. Also on the website, I'm going to be opening a new feature at some point this month. I'm going to call it Humans of Koshien. So anybody out there that goes to a game, if you take pictures of yourselves at the game, or if you find interesting people at the game and you pose with them, send us your pictures by email, podcast@thehanshintigers.com, and I will post those on the website if you're interested in me doing so. We would love to kind of be able to get like a database of pictures of fans. If you want to even take pictures of the action, that's fine too, but we'd love to get more pictures from you, the people, up there on the website, so feel free to do that. podcast@thehanshintigers.com.
Can we send in some old ones? Because I've got plenty when I was there, so... Yeah. All right. I'll send.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'd love that. I'd love that, Joe. Yeah. I mean, they don't have to be from 2016 and onward. I mean, if you've got stuff from the past, bring it on. We'd love that.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. So again, we shared the email address. You can find us on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter @TheHanshinTiger. Get in touch with us if there's any topics you want us to tackle, or if there's anyone that any questions you want us to ask to any of the players, if I get a chance to talk to some, especially the foreign players, send me some questions or some thoughts you might have that you want to share, or give me some ideas of how you'd love to see the podcast enhanced. Joe, it's been a pleasure having you on board for the week, and I look forward to the next time we're able to talk. Any final thoughts for us?
No, I think, you know, we're doing great this year and holding on to second place. Let's keep on keeping on, and go Tigers.
Absolutely. All right. Well, for now, I hope everybody enjoys their baseball this week. This has been H10. See you next time.
ありがとうって今は言わせて